Okay, Alexander, we need to talk about Michael Flynn. And you wrote an article. Let me pull it up here. You wrote an article on December 4th, 2017. That's not a mistake. You wrote an article for the Duran, theduran.com, December 4th, 2017, with the title A Case of Entrapment: How the Deep State Brought Down Michael Flynn. And your excerpt from that article was Trump's national security advisor downfall was engineered in the shadiest of circumstances. Well, Alexander, today we know without a shadow of a doubt, thanks to some very good legal representation that Flynn has acquired, which he needed to get, that he was completely set up. Without a shadow of a doubt, he was targeted. And this is a collusion which incorporates the head of the FBI and Comey. It incorporates Brennan of the CIA. It incorporates a lot of FBI agents. Peter Strzok is probably one of the major players here. It incorporates what I believe to be many Obama White House officials. It incorporates the mainstream media. And it also incorporates Michael Flynn's previous lawyers. All of these people colluded and conspired to take down Michael Flynn from the very beginning. I mean, they targeted him from the very beginning. You wrote this article in 2017, knowing that all these very powerful forces were targeting Michael Flynn to take him down. Get into this story. How did you know that? And bring us up to date as to what has happened.
Right. Well, there were a few things about that story about Michael Flynn, which always seemed to me very, very troubling. And firstly, there was this business about the fact that, if you remember, it all started with this conversation that he had, these sets of conversations with the Russian ambassador, Ambassador Kislyak, Sergei Kislyak. He spoke to Sergei Kislyak on a couple of occasions in December, 29th December 2016. This is during the transition period. And they were supposed to have discussed sanctions, but it turns out that Flynn made no promises about lifting sanctions against Russia, even though they did discuss sanctions. And then there was this extraordinary article that appeared on the 12th of January, 2017. This is still during the transition period. Donald Trump is still not president, in which David Ignatius writes that these conversations between Flynn and Kislyak had indeed taken place, and that they were all about the sanctions. And it was quite obvious that this information was based on classified tape recordings. And that publication by Ignatius of the information about that call was what set in train a whole sequence of events, which eventually led to Flynn's forced resignation, and then to his subsequent investigation by the FBI, and eventually to his being maneuvered by Mueller and the Mueller team into pleading guilty to the offense of lying to the FBI. Now, there were all kinds of things that I'd already knew, I'd already spotted way back in December 2014. The first was that the timing of those events was incredibly suggestive. So you had the telephone conversations on the 29th of December between Flynn and Kislyak. You had this key meeting on the 8th of January, just a few weeks later, between Donald Trump, who was then still very much President-elect Trump, with his future national security advisor sitting next to him, and that was none other than Michael Flynn, and this sinister trio of McCabe, Comey, and various other people. I mean, there was the national security advisor there too. But the key people here are Comey and McCabe. sorry, Comey and Brennan, and Brennan and Comey and Clapper, sorry, present Trump with this report, supposedly about Russian hacking of the DNC. But what they actually seem to have been focused on was this appendix to that report, which we weren't aware of at the time, which was the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele's dossier, in which, you know, we have all these allegations. And Donald Trump and Flynn look at this thing. They say this is absolute nonsense, and we are rejecting that entire report. And I said at the time, and I should say Robert Parry, who was one of the great journalists at the time, also said this looked like a transparent case of blackmail, that the intelligence agencies were trying to blackmail Donald Trump. And it turns out subsequently we've learned that's exactly what Donald Trump thought. So what happens then? That's on the 8th of January. On the 11th of January, BuzzFeed publishes the Steele dossier. And on the 12th of January, that's to say the day after, David Ignatius publishes all the details about the telephone calls between Flynn and Kislyak. So I think those two events, the ones on the 11th of January and the 11th and the 12th of January 2017, the publication of the Steele dossier and the publication of the information about the telephone call, that those were coordinated. And moreover, I think that they were provoked by Donald Trump's and Flynn's reaction to the presentation of that report on the 8th of January, which was, of course, their reaction to the Steele dossier, first and foremost. And then what happens in the days following is that these people sit back and wait to see what Flynn would say. Flynn denies that he discussed the sanctions with Kislyak during these telephone calls on the 29th of December. So they come together, they plot together, and it's exactly the same people. It's Comey, it's Brennan, it's Clapper, and it's also the person who's running the Justice Department at that time, who is Sally Yates, Deputy Attorney General. And it is also, by the way, various other people. We are informed, the latest information we're getting is that other people, we don't know which other people, but other people within the Obama administration are also being kept informed. We don't know who. Guesses, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, maybe the chief himself, maybe a Barack Obama himself. Anyway, it's then arranged that this meeting should take place on the 24th of January. This is just after the inauguration. Sally Yates is still in charge of the Justice Department as acting Attorney General. James Comey is still very much in control of the FBI. He's still director of the FBI. So this meeting is arranged with between Flynn and Peter Strzok and another FBI agent. Flynn is not told that this is an investigation. He meets with Strzok. He again denies that the discussion was all about sanctions. And this denial is then twisted and turned around subsequently by Robert Mueller to make it out that Flynn lied to the FBI. And he is convicted on that. He is convicted on that because it turns out that he was threatened by Mueller with further proceedings for breaches of the FARA Act. That's the Foreign Registrations Act. That seems to be mainly related to Turkey, to his work on behalf of Turkey, and perhaps a contact, a brief contact he had with RT. It turns out that his son is also threatened. It turns out that his lawyers, who had dealt with all his reports to the foreign registration people, his own lawyers strong-armed him into pleading guilty, which he should never have done. Those lawyers are a very well-connected Washington law firm. And now his new lawyer, who is brilliant lawyer, Sidney Powell, who has been looking at all of this, has exposed the extent to which the lawyers were, it seems, themselves implicated in getting Flynn to plead guilty to something he should never have pleaded guilty to, because that meeting between Flynn and the FBI was a setup. He was never told what its true purpose was. He was given no hint that it was an actual formal investigation. It wasn't arranged through the proper channels. White House counsel wasn't told about it. Flynn was not told that he should have an attorney with him to help him through that interview. He was led to think it was an informal and friendly chat. He was clearly off his guard. He was tricked into saying things which, if he'd been properly briefed and advised, he would never have said. And he was tricked into doing that by the FBI. And he was subsequently tricked by his own lawyers into not making that a central point in his defense and into pleading guilty. So now we have all that horrible story, and it's all coming out in the clear. I put together some dots when I wrote that article on the 4th of December 2017. Now it's turned out that all that putting together of the dots was absolutely right and spot on. I say that about an article, of course, which I wrote myself, but it's even worse than I imagined, because it never crossed my mind that his own lawyers were themselves also implicated in this thing. And that is terrible.
Yeah, that's how deep the corruption goes. And that's how Absolutely. Deep the effort to get rid of Trump and to destroy Trump goes.
Yes.
I mean, this is nasty stuff, really nasty stuff. It's actually very terrifying. If they can do this to you, to a decorated U.S. general and someone as powerful as Flynn was,
yes.
if they could do this to him, I mean, my God, this is just, it's stunning. It's scary.
Exactly.
Alexander, let me read you an article from Fox News via Greg Jarrett, who's their, I think he's their chief legal correspondent. He entitled an article, "New Evidence on Michael Flynn, Drop All Charges and Let Him Sue His Prosecutors." Now, let me take you to a passage from that article with in relations to Sidney Powell. And this is what Jarrett said. "Powell has waged an intense and skilled legal battle to get the government to turn over the exculpatory evidence that has long been hidden and is required under law, Brady versus Maryland, to be produced. Prosecutors and the FBI stonewalled, at one point claiming that the original witness report of Flynn's interview, known as an FD-302, was missing." Right. "Fortunately, Attorney General William Barr ordered a review of the Flynn case, and guess what? Exculpatory documents have suddenly and magically been found. They were never missing, just buried by the FBI in a black hole of calumny and cover-up. The material is still under protective seal so that the public cannot yet read its contents. However, Powell has access and offered this insight in a court filing. Quote, this afternoon, the government produced to Mr. Flynn stunning Brady evidence that proves Mr. Flynn's allegations of having been deliberately set up and framed by corrupt agents at the top of the FBI. The government deliberately suppressed this evidence from the inception of this prosecution, knowing there was no crime by Mr. Flynn." This is... I'm speechless. I don't have words for this.
It is
absolutely stunning.
It is absolutely stunning. And can I just say, Sidney Powell, by the way, is one of the great heroes of the whole Russiagate saga. I mean, she has fought an incredible battle. Now, can I just say a few things? First of all, we discussed the entrapment. As I said, there were clear signs of entrapment. I discussed them all the way back in December 2017. So in some ways, I'm not surprised about that. The involvement of the lawyers, of Flynn's own lawyers, is shocking. The deliberate concealment of evidence of that entrapment by the FBI and the Justice Department is even more shocking. That it's had to be extracted bit by bit, that it required the personal intervention of the Attorney General of the United States to do it. That is so bad. I mean, it's just off the scale. I mean, it is absolutely horrifying. And can I just repeat again Sidney Powell's point? There were no crimes committed here. There were no crimes committed here. Let's tick off the three things that Flynn did. He spoke to the Russian ambassador. There is no question that he acted perfectly legally and appropriately over the course of those conversations. Sally Yates came up with some lunatic theories that he violated the so-called Logan Act, which purportedly prohibits private individuals from conducting diplomacy on the behalf of the United States. Nobody has ever been prosecuted under the Logan Act since it was brought into, well, nobody's been convicted under the Logan Act since it was brought into force in 1799. And this wouldn't be a Logan Act violation on its face anyway, because he was not at that time a private individual. He was the national security advisor of the president-elect. So the Logan Act theory is nonsense. Sally Yates also came up with a fantastic theory that by saying things to Kislyak and then saying different things about what he'd said to Kislyak, to the vice president, Mike Pence, Flynn had exposed himself to blackmail. I mean, that's not a criminal offence anyway, but frankly, it's just nonsense. I mean, I've never been able to figure that one out. So nothing wrong about his telephone calls with Kislyak. Nothing criminal about his actions with the FBI. And this is what this latest information that Sidney Powell has obtained shows. Since Flynn was never told that he, over the course of his meetings with the FBI, that he was being investigated, he cannot have been lying in order to disrupt an investigation. So, yeah, by definition, that whole premise upon which that conviction was obtained is wrong. It is completely wrong. And his lawyers should never have advised him to plead guilty to it. And as for the FARA registration documents, it is now known that Flynn thought that he had registered properly all his dealings with Turkey and with RT under FARA, and that registration was done by, guess whom? His own lawyers. The very same lawyers that were advising him, in fact, pressuring him to plead guilty. So, I mean, it's just off the scale. It's just so terrible that it just, you know, we're just struggles to keep up with this. Coming back to Barr, I understand that he's now appointed another senior counsel to review this whole thing. And I hope something comes of that too. I mean, absolutely, the Justice Department itself needs to come to the court. And I want to say something about the judge, because Judge Sullivan, who has been presiding over the case of Flynn, has behaved appallingly, in my opinion. But the Justice Department needs to come along to this judge, who has behaved with extraordinary bias against Flynn, and tell the judge that the Justice Department is withdrawing the case against Flynn, that it accepts that conviction is based on a completely wrong, fake prosecution on a crime that never happened and did not exist. And after that happened, yes, Flynn does have a claim against the Justice Department and against the FBI, but he also has a case, a massive case, it seems to me, against his own lawyers.
My God. I mean, this is... they broke America, these people.
Yes, yes. They were.
I don't have anything to say. I'm listening to all of this stuff, and I mean, this is like stuff that happens in a banana republic. I mean, they've completely broken America out of their Trump derangement syndrome, out of their madness. They're sociopaths.
I'm very glad you brought up you know, Trump, because this is, of course, what this whole thing was all about. They weren't out to get Flynn. They were out to get Trump. They were trying to get a Trump through Flynn. Trump had also, of course, been at this infamous meeting on the 8th of January 2017 when Clapper, Comey and Brennan presented him with effectively the Steele dossier and trying to blackmail him. But of course, Trump, who's a much, much tougher political animal than Flynn is, and instead of lying and trying to brazen it out, he took the offensive, gave that extraordinary press conference. By the way, I remember you wrote a brilliant article at the time about that press conference that he gave, one of the first press conferences he gave as president, in which he went on and on and about the Steele dossier and about how awful it was and how disgraceful it was and how, you know, shocking it had been for him and for his family, and that all these appalling things were saying. He even managed to get James Clapper to actually apologize to him, which is, you know, quite a remarkable thing all considered. But, you know, Trump knew how to handle it. Flynn didn't. And so he blundered. He said things about his conversations with Kislyak. He said things which weren't true, which he didn't need to say things like that. He could have simply said the truth and he would have been fine. But he didn't have that kind of experience and he didn't have that toughness that Donald Trump has in the face of this sort of thing. But they weren't ultimately interested in Flynn. They went after Flynn in order to build up the collusion narrative which they were using against Trump. And it was payback, the prosecution against Flynn and the investigation of Flynn, this phony investigation of Flynn, was payback because Flynn, along with side Trump, defied them on the 8th of January when there's an attempt to blackmail them by waving at them the Steele dossier. So that was what it was. It was ultimately all about Trump. It wasn't about Flynn at all. And it was carefully planned and it was completely, completely unethical. And the Justice Department acted disgracefully. The FBI acted, in my opinion, criminally. Sally Yates has questions to answer, and I'm using, again, very measured language. And of course, Flynn's lawyers have behaved in a way that I just don't understand. I could use stronger language. I'm not going to on a program like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll take a pessimistic view, a cynical view, and say Sally Yates and Flynn's lawyers and Comey and Clapper and Brennan and all these guys, you know, I hope something comes down on them. I hope to see indictments, but I don't think so. No. But I really do hope to see indictments. Hopefully, if Trump wins a second term, then, you know, maybe we will see some indictments for the wrongdoings.
Yes. Yes.
Terrible, terrible things these people did. I mean, they destroyed a man's life. Many people's lives, but in the Flynn case, they literally destroyed him. his reputation, his finances, his family, everything.
This is a declaration.
They will stop at nothing. They will stop at nothing to destroy Trump, these people. They will stop at nothing to destroy Trump.
Well, exactly. Well, this is what this shows. And this is a decorated general, bear in mind, of the United States military, somebody who had served his country on the field of battle. And they were prepared to destroy him and trash his reputation because he stood by his boss, the President of the United States. I mean, it is beyond horrible. And I would also remind you and our viewers that we now know from Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the FBI, that at the same time, of course, they were meeting with all sorts of people who had been the sources. The FBI was meeting with all the sources who had provided all the information for the Steele dossier. And they knew, even whilst they were plotting against Flynn, that the Steele dossier was untrue. So, I mean, it's just unspeakable what was actually going on. It's just disgraceful. Now, indictments, can I just say there are certain clear criminal offences committed here. Firstly, there was the leak on the 12th of January, 2017, to David Ignatius, or it might have even been the previous day. The leak about the classified recording, the conversation between Flynn and the Russian ambassador. That is a clear violation of the FISA Act. That is a major violation of the Act. It's a clear-cut criminal offence. The rumours are that it was done by a senior official in the US intelligence community, the man who was at the time in charge of the Office of Net Assessment. So, I mean, that person or whoever it was who did it should be charged. I mean, there ought to be an indictment against whoever was responsible for that crime. There is also a further crime, an obvious further crime, I would have said, which is this charge of that there is a crime of entrapment. I mean, entrapment, clearly a crime of entrapment related to the whole episode of the way in which they tried to set up Flynn. I mean, it's clear abuse of power, clear abuse of process. There's conspiracy involved also, and it's clear that several people were involved, including by the way, McCabe and Comey, and quite possibly Peter Strzok, and of course I'm, you know, Sally Yates lurking in the background. So we have what looked to me to be very clear-cut crimes. And you mentioned in your introduction how the media had been involved. Well, the media was involved because, of course, firstly, you have Ignatius publishing classified information in order to bring down Flynn, because that's what he was doing. That's one thing. And also, there's a further leak on the, I think it's the 12th or the 13th of February, which was published by the Washington Post, in which they published a vast mountain of information about Flynn, related both to the FBI investigation, which he hadn't been told was an investigation, and to the telephone conversations which he'd had with Kislyak, which is a further violation of the FISA law. And that is clearly, it seems to me, a case of the media conspiring with the intelligence community to bring down Flynn. So, huge number of things to look into here. This has always been for me, I'm going to say this, it's always been for me the most upsetting single episode in the whole of Russiagate. There have been disgraceful things, lots of disgraceful things that have happened. There was the appalling treatment of Carter Page. There's been the absolutely political prosecution of Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort may be a crook and a criminal and all kinds of things, but he did not deserve to be prosecuted in that way. And the judge who tried the case said so. But for me, the treatment of Flynn is the worst thing of all, alongside the treatment of the ultimate target, who was the president of the United States, Donald Trump.
We'll leave it there, Alexander. I'll repeat it again. They will stop at nothing.
No.
To remove Trump.
Well, they didn't stop at anything. I mean, they broke every conceivable law and ethics. They broke America, absolutely. And I mean, it's a disgraceful affair. It is, I mean, it's so shocking that it's just unspeakable what happened. I mean, bear in mind, just to say again, we talk about Pfizer warrants and Carter Page. We know that they tampered with original documents. We know they tampered with the wording of original documents, the wording of an email from the CIA, which exonerated Carter Page. They changed the wording in order to get the Pfizer warrant. So they changed that email from exonerating Carter Page to one in which it incriminated Carter Page by changing the wording. So, I mean, these people did stop at nothing.
Yeah, these people really have problems in the head. I mean, really, they really have problems.
Absolutely.
Real deep psychological problems,
Absolutely. And at the time when they were doing all these things to Flynn, and they knew from the people they were simultaneously interviewing at that time, something which, of course, I didn't know in December 2017, they knew that the Steele dossier had no basis of fact behind it. So they knew that the whole collusion narrative was untrue.
Oh boy. All right. So important for Trump to win a second term. So important.
I completely agree. I entirely agree. It's I've said it before. I mean, this is the last thing I'm going to say. If I had a vote in this election, I would vote for Donald Trump in November for that reason. And that reason, for me, trumps every other, pun unintended, by the way. I mean, I think this is so important for the future of the United States that is why Donald Trump needs to win this election and why everybody should get behind him in order to bring justice and the rule of law back to the United States, because it has almost collapsed.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alexander. If Trump were to lose in 2020, then America is lost, because the Democrats, whoever it is, Biden, Hillary, Obama, Michelle, Cuomo, whoever it is,
they're
just going to take all of this stuff and...
We'll bury it. Even Bernie Sanders would have done it. Not that he's ever going to become president, but I mean, that's what they would all
whoever.
Do.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever.
All right. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button, smash that notification, please smash that like button as well. Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and we are on Subscribestar as well. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And please go to the Duran shop, pick up some merchandise. We've got all kinds of great things, magic mugs, awesome shirts, great polos. And Alexander, we also have the Patriot Beacon from our friends at the Patriotic Legacy, which is the best flashlight in the world. And they are also running a contest for Duran viewers. If you use the Duran20 code, you get 20% off the Patriot Beacon on checkout. It ships internationally as well. Let's not forget that it ships all over the world. And you're automatically entered into the contest for a Patriot Beacon 3 in red. Red color, you will also be entered into the contest to not only win one Patriot Beacon Red, but also you'll be entered to win one tactical pen and one monkey fist ball. That comes with everybody that purchases a Patriot Beacon. You are entered in that contest when you spend $30 or more. Duran20 at checkout gets you a 20% discount, so everyone's a winner there, and you're entered into the contest. Alexander.
Indeed, this is a contest which I don't think any of our viewers can afford not to join and be part of, because Alex calls this a flashlight, I call it a torch. It is, as Alex said, the best flashlight or torch in the world. It is an amazing, amazing torch. I call it a torch because that's the word we use for a flashlight here in the UK. And it is phenomenal. I mean, first of all, it is an amazing torch in itself. I mean, it has the most powerful light in dark nights, and you know, nights can be very dark here. When I go walking with my dogs, it enables me to keep track on them. I can see them phenomenal distances. It's also a light which is both strong and clear, and which distinguishes very precisely what you're looking at, and it covers us a huge distances. It's phenomenal. It also has different applications, so you can have a strong, big, steady beam like you see there. You can also have a softer beam, which you might want, you know, if you're sort of in a confined space or you've got lots of people around you and you don't want to blind anyone. And of course, if you're on the road and you want to alert people to your presence, you can actually flash with it. You can do a flash, which is actually much more effective in a road than, as I said, having a steady light, because that lets people know that you are there and they keep away, and that prevents accidents. It's also got 101 other wonderful things about it. Firstly, it's solar powered. Now, that's important for me because I'm one of these very absent-minded people who's always forgetting to put batteries in things. This doesn't need batteries, so it never runs out of power, provided you keep it in the light. And that is a wonderful thing, because it means that in the dark, when you're fumbling around, you find it and you need to sort of have light, you've got it immediately to hand, because as I said, this doesn't run out of power. It also means that if you have your smartphone and or your laptop or your tablet with you and that's out of power, well, you've actually got a port there and you can recharge them. You've got that accessory also, which is incredibly useful, because again, especially with me, I'm always running out of power on my smartphone. I'm always having to recharge it, and having a port there which enables me to do that is a wonderful and incredibly useful thing. If you are someone who is, you know, out in the woods or out in, you know, the fields, or indeed in your car, and you're lost, maybe your sat nav isn't working because you've had loss of power in your car, well, you can find your bearings very well, because you've got a compass here. You can just see it in the handle, so that tells you exactly where north is. You can find your way. You can get your bearings incredibly well. If you want to draw attention to yourself, which I sometimes do, I sometimes want to sort of bring my dogs. My dogs always respond to this. There's an alarm. And that alarm is incredibly helpful. It actually, when I'm walking my dogs, it brings them running. And of course, it's also can be used in all kinds of other useful ways. Now, this torch is, I think it's, you know, you can use it for all sorts of things, for in all sorts of ways. But one obvious way is to have it with you in your car when you're driving at night. You've got a magnet there, which you can put, so you can put it on part of your car and it keeps it safe. But also, if perish the thought you have an accident, well, you can use that to break through the windscreen. It's incredibly strong. And of course, you've also got another thing which enables you to cut yourself out of your seatbelt, or to cut your passengers out of their seatbelts, if that's what you have to do. And for me, the single best thing about this torch is how well made it is. It's incredibly strong. It is beautifully made. It is one of these things which is an absolute joy to hold. When you have an accessory like this, a tool like this, I find that it really helps if you feel that it's strong and rugged and indestructible, which it absolutely is. It just gives you that confidence, which, you know, in a dark place, if you're lost, for example, having something like this, which is both incredibly good light and which is strong in itself, that gives you that confidence, which you absolutely need. And lastly, if you're a great fumbler like myself, well, the fact that it's strong also means that you're less likely to sort of drop it or lose it. And of course, you can put it around your hand like this, and that means that it doesn't drop. So it is the absolute perfect torch. It is the torch for all seasons and all places. I cannot recommend it too strongly. As I said, this is a contest you must join and be a part of, because everyone should have a torch like this. So this is the Patriot Beacon made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy, the best torch in the world. And Alex has told you about the contest. And at the end of the program, he'll explain to you again how you can join it. But of course, it's not just torches you should be looking out for. It's also the wonderful things in our shop, like our famous magic mugs, like this one that I'm drinking my tea from at the moment, my Earl Grey tea, which is the tea I'm drinking at this particular time. I've spoken often about how beautiful they are, how incredibly hard wearing they are, how they are the best torches I have ever had, and how I have run through mugs I have ever had, and I have run through hundreds and hundreds of mugs. So I should know. I would say one quick thing about it. Firstly, I've had this mug now for well over a year, year and a half, in fact. And despite being a famously careless person, you will see that it is in perfect condition. It's not chipped, cracked, broken, discolored in any way. And it's got, as you could see, the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation on it. That's this particular mug. You will find lots of other mugs with other logos and emblems and badges on them too in our shop. And of course, Alex mentioned our shirts, our amazing polo shirts, like the one I'm wearing now, the best and most stylish polo shirts you will find anywhere, with a double-headed eagle of the Duran, different from the Russian, 100% cotton, also incredibly hard wearing. We also have t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, of the same extremely high quality. We also have V-neck shirts. We have hats, hoodies and stickers. We have very interesting ebooks on subjects like Russiagate, which we've been talking about in this program, Ukrainegate, Brexit, Epstein, and also the latest crisis in the oil markets. So come to our shop, support the Duran, join the contest, get yourself a Patriot Beacon. Alex will tell you how to do all these things.
You will find a link to the Patriotic Legacy and the Patriot Beacon in the description box down below. And you will also find a link to the Duran Shop, thedurantshop.com, in the description box down below as well. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.